the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 40 and the 17th verse, first half. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Psalm 40, 17th verse, first half. This is a word which can be looked on as godly David's confession of faith. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth was speaking. And this word is the language of the living. The dead know not anything of what it is to be poor and needy. And every sinner who has the mercy to be taught of God will be able to find an amen to this confession of faith which the psalmist made long ago. And can you say amen? But I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Everything hinges on being made a beggar poor at mercy's door. I want, as the Lord should help me, to look at the subject from just two viewpoints. And first of all, there is the psalmist's confession. But I am poor and needy. And the second viewpoint of the subject is the psalmist's consolation. Yet, being the sinner that I am, so hell deserving, undeserving, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And what a wonderful mercy it is to have a little well-grounded evidence of being such a character as is brought before us in this word which I have read for the subject. Poor and needy. I thought as you were singing the hymn before the sermon, which has got such beautiful gospel in it, how very solemn it will be if some who did sing it should miss the mark at the last and find that they are numbered out with the goats at the Good Shepherd's left hand. The solemnity of it came over me because there is no better setting forth of the gospel than that conclusion in the hymn. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shape, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And to sing it, and perhaps appreciate the singing of it to the tune, and never, never to know the blessed experience of what it is to lean on Jesus Christ and find in him our beloved all our salvation, all our desire. Oh, very, very solemn it is to contemplate. And yet, for everyone, after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, there is encouragement beyond words to describe. For it is just the unfolding of the Savior's declaration, Him that cometh unto me, I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. And do remember this. If any of you on the Union Chapel roof should be lost, the onus of you being lost is on your own head. Jesus ready stands to save you if you can find in your heart that you are poor and needy. Remember that. No sinner was ever yet empty, sent back, who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Such is the gospel of the grace of God. Such is the God of all grace, whose gospel it is. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I am poor and needy. You will remember when the dear Savior began to preach his own gospel, that his opening words were, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." I have told you many times in my long ministry, I must continue to tell you the same things. Grace is an emptying principle. And one hymn writer words it well. Blessed am I when I see my spirit's inmost poverty. It brings you to what another hymn writer says, and very few people know much about. Nothing in my hand I bring, poor. And when God begins to deal with a sinner, when the eyes of the blind are opened, and that sinner is given a gracious conviction of sin, he is made solemnly aware that he is utterly unable to fulfill the law in its holy demands. He struggles to be better and to do better and to gather together, if it can be possible, a little righteousness. But with all his attempts to improve his life and amend it, he has to ultimately appear before God and tell him all the truth. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. And he knows by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh living be justified. And he begins to understand what it is to be poor as regards righteousness. He can enter into that scripture. All our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. Not only so, while the law says to that sinner, as he is under it, being taught his hell-deserving state, do this, do that, he is made aware that while he has it in his heart to do it, being a sinner born again, he is poor and has no strength, no ability to do good. He is made aware of his utter helplessness in things divine. Yes. And he learns that scripture, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And he finds, as he journeys on through life, being led into the truth, not only is he poor as regards righteousness and strength to do that which he has in his heart to do, even that which is right before God, but he is poor as regards religion that will do to live by and die by in every jot and tittle of it. And he has none whatever, only as God works it in and enables him by grace to work it out. Poor. A great word it is. In our soul's experience, a very humbling word, as having nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Poor. But then it says, needy. And that flows from being poor. And now the great thing is to be conscious of our need and to be exercised unto godliness that it may be supplied from that fullness which resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. Needy. And now it can be said, it should be said, that a sinner taught of God is needy in everything. He is needy, I say, in everything. Needy in every condition. Needy everywhere he may go. What does he need? Divine aid. He cannot live the life he has it in his heart to live without it. I like that scripture amongst many more. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you and I, if we are taught of God, must do it. We cannot take one step in the life divine on our own initiative, in our own strength. The thing is impossible. You and I need divine aid to go on every day, all day, following on to know the Lord. Needy. And now there are two special needs that stand out in the life of the righteous. And these two special needs you will be aware of every day if you are in a right mind. You need cleansing. Every day you contract fresh guilt on your conscience. As you journey on through life, wherever you may be, you have to be in the world and aim to be not of it. But you find it a very difficult business to do what the hymn writer says, be to this world as dead and alive to that which is to come. All too often, you find this world bewitches you, and you are entangled in this and that which is to do with the world, and it makes you, in your soul's experience, to be of the earth, earthy. And every day at the end of it, you have to confess, I am poor and needy. You say with Ezra, O my God, I am ashamed. I blush to lift up my face unto thee. And you say, oh, how many times you have said it. God be merciful to me, a sinner. To thee I come, a sinner poor, and wait for mercy at thy door. But I am poor and needy. I say, you need cleansing. And think of the blessed provision God has made for it. In that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You will be well aware of that blessed truth. But deep down in your heart, you will be saying, the fountain open stands, but on its brink I dwell. Oh, put me in with thine own hands, and that will make me well. Yes, you need cleansing. And then you need clothing. There is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is by faith made known. A wonderful experience. Lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and spread it all around. How glad you would be, some of you, if you could see Jesus and see in him who he is as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Naked I come to thee for dress. But I am poor and needy. Needy in all circumstances. As I said at the outset, you and I need divine aid. Do you realize that? Every now and again you get an inkling of it and realize your need of it. But it would be well if you and I could be more conscious of it. What did the Savior say? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And don't balk at that word ought. It dropped from the Savior's lips. Remember that. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you will find that is the crux of the matter with so many of us often being such poor Christians as it is made manifest before God and man. When prayer is a burden and task, no wonder I little receive. O Lord, make me willing to ask, since thou art so ready to give. And needy. Needy in every experience. And what is our need therein? Our need therein is to be exercised thereby. I do love that scripture. Exercise thyself unto godliness. The word of Paul the aged to Timothy the young. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. And yet how often people who are taught of God seem to be in an unexercised state. And very solemn it is to be like it. Exercise thyself unto godliness, is the word of the Lord to you, preacher and people alike. Because in every experience, whatever it may be, whether it be sad or glad experience, you need to be exercised thereby. Neither lifted up with air, nor dejected to despair. Exercised unto godliness in all that appertains to our lives. Much might be said along that line of thought in setting forth the character. There is one more thought comes to my mind regarding our need. Not only cleansing and clothing, such as the righteousness of Jesus Christ made known, but you and I need comfort such as only God can give as the God of all comfort. I like our hymn writer's thoughts about it. Let no false comfort lift us up to confidence that's vain. There is such a thing as false comfort. And from a preacher's viewpoint, a pastor's especially, I get very much afraid of that which may prove to be only excitement, a kind of enthusiasm. But you must get deeper down than that. And it says of that wise builder that he dig deep. And he got down to bedrock. And you and I, as grace is given, must dig deep and dig down through all that is superficial. Yes, and all that is only sentimental in connection with the profession of Jesus' name. And get right down to that which is spiritual. Until at length you can make a confession of faith. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I am poor and needy, says godly David. And he gives some extraordinary expressions about it in some of his psalms. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Leave not my soul destitute. Make not my soul bare. Margin reading. And many other like scriptures which he uttered before God with whom he had to do. And you find them very helpful at times when you are made aware, like David, I am poor and needy. Glad you are to find a companion or two. And as in water, face answereth unto face, so does the heart of man to man. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. Their all taught sins demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. The psalmist's confession, but I am poor and needy. Let us look at this second viewpoint. The psalmist's consolation, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And now this is one of those subjects in which there are ocean depths, an ocean fullness, and it beggars all language to say much about it. And even if our minds are spiritual minds, they are still very limited in their capacities to ponder such a mighty subject. Think at the present time on the earth, there are millions of sinners born again. Millions. Remember that. And the mercy is if you and I are found among them. But millions of such characters there are. And this is what every one of them can say as grace is given. The Lord thinketh upon me. Every individual sinner. Fear thou not. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The Lord thinketh upon me. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and them that hope in his mercy. Each one, every one, though they are millions on the earth at the same time. How wonderful the mind of the Lord must be. And yet, when all is said and done, his name shall be called Wonderful. And the psalmist said, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. The Lord thinketh upon me. You might ponder that word, mindful of us. He does not think just a casual thought. Give a passing thought to this sinner and that who is to be saved by grace. But all the while, his mind is full of what his purposes are. I will set mine eyes upon them to do them good. And he never thinks otherwise than to do them good. His dealings may be at times hard to be understood, but in the ultimate issue, when his thoughts are made known, it will be seen. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, it is a wonderful consideration to think upon the mind of the Lord, and that he should have it in his mind to do poor sinners good and to lock them up in a covenant ordered in all things and sure, a number which no man could number. A wonderful consideration. The Lord thinketh upon me. And what an amazing thought that was, that God revealed was in his mind, as you read in that wonderful opening to the Hebrews epistle. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Spoken unto us by his Son. A word is a spoken thought. What an amazing thought it was. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our thoughts are hidden in our minds until we put them into words and speak them forth. And that great thought was hidden in the mind of God. And then at length he gave expression to it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was the unfolding of his thoughts. And that in the fullness of time, God would send forth his own son, made of a woman, made under the law. And that he might think upon sinners, a number which no man can number, and fit them for the skies to dwell with him forever and ever. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I say, no language can say about it what ought to be said. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead, see, pleased a man with men to be. And all the while, Jesus Christ was on this earth, and you must never forget that he did tread this earth in which you and I live and move. Verily man, verily God. And all the while, from the cradle to the cross, he had in his heart every sinner in that number which no man can number, on whose behalf he came down into this world to save. Ask God to help you to think on it. In all his journeyings about doing good, and in his life as he lived it under the law, he had every sinner in his holy mind. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy of saving sinners by grace and making them meet for the inheritance of the saints in light, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So it was throughout his holy life as he lived on the earth. And when he hung on Calvary's cross, he had then every sinner on whose behalf he came in his heart, in his mind. Yes. And when he said, it is finished, it was indeed an amazing proclamation. It is finished, cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word. Full salvation's in it. And now the great thing is to have these things known in our own soul's experience. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And do remember this. The thoughts in his mind are not only hidden thoughts, great thoughts. They are infinite thoughts. And you must never forget what the Word of God declares. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. You think according to your mind and your measurement in your mind. And you think always according to your limitations. And blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. Therefore, You think this and that about his work, and sometimes put what you think into words, like Jacob, all these things are against me. The word of God says otherwise. My thoughts are not your thoughts. No. I think upon you to do what I purpose in saving you by grace and fitting you to dwell in the realms of bliss. Remember that. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. What wonderful thoughts there were in the Father's breast when that word was made known. Christ, be my first elect, he said, then chose our souls in Christ our head. And what a wonderful thought it was in the breast of Jesus Christ as verily man, verily God, when he said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. And what wonderful thoughts are made known in the Holy Spirit's mind, as he calls poor sinners by his grace, takes one of a family, two of a city, according to eternal purposes. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Much might be said along that line of thought. And then there is a wonderful word in the book of Job. He is in one mind, and who can turn him? You and I at times change our minds. What we have thought at one time, we reconsider. We reconstruct our thoughts. And sometimes we think altogether the opposite of what we did at the first thinking. Not so with the Lord. I am the Lord. I change not in what I think. And what a great mercy that is. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, and because his compassion fail not, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And in his wondrous pity sees eternal thoughts of love to me. And then there is another approach to this subject. The Lord thinketh upon me. He thinks upon me for who I am, my person. And that word is proclaimed, he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And godly David says in another psalm, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And sometimes that will mean, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. You will be made aware, the Lord thinketh upon me to chasten me, correct me. And it will be a wonderful mercy if you are helped to behave aright when he is pleased to do it. And if you can realize, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. The Lord thinketh upon me, my person, all to do with me. And that means the lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. There is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. And you can look at it like this. The Lord thinketh upon me, not only my person, for who I am, a poor sinner who desires to be saved with an everlasting salvation. The Lord thinketh upon me, my pathway. And remember what a comfort that was to Job. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And there can be no way that God ordains or allows you to take, but what he will still be thinking upon you to bring you out of that way, like Job declares, I shall come forth as gold. Sometimes the way you have to take is a way that is surprising, and you would not take it if the choice was left to you. But the word of the Lord is, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. This is the way, walk ye in it. And as you go therein, you will find this will evidence it to be the right way. If sometimes Jesus himself draws near and goes with you, and your heart is warmed with his love, and he opens up to you the scriptures and tells you the things concerning his dear self, and enables you to feel, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Do remember, the Lord, in thinking upon you, your person, your pathway as you tread it, is thinking upon his own work, which he is carrying on in your soul's experience. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And a wonderful mercy it is to be taught of God. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Poor, guilty, hell deserving me. You get the evidence of this sometimes when you are found in the means of grace. Sometimes the way that you go, you get light on it. Things wherein you have been exercised unto godliness, the Lord grants you a gracious outcome in your soul's experience. Sometimes when you cannot put into words what you feel, you may come up to worship God and sing one of the songs of Zion that exactly describes it. And you and the hymn writer walk in agreement. And you can feel, the Lord thinketh upon me. As in water face answereth unto face, so does the heart of man to man. And sometimes when you have been favored to feel, it is good for me to draw near to God, and then you can say, blessed be God, for he hath heard my prayer, and turned away his mercy from me. When you are like godly Hannah. And she said, for this child I prayed. And his name is Samuel, asked of God. And whenever she saw Samuel, as long as she lived, she could say, I am poor and needy. The Lord thinketh upon me. That Christ is God, I can avouch, and for his people cares, since I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. Sometimes you may come up to worship God with a special concern to get a word in season and some help by the way, and it may be the servant of God, whoever he is helped to set forth just the line of things that you are being taught of God. And you say, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. And you can say, the Lord thinketh upon me. Yes. And when a little consciousness of his love, when you are favored, sometimes it may be not in the means of grace, and you are helped to look back over the dealings of God with you. Remember the way he has led you. And you have to come to this conclusion. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, would he have shown us all these things? And you must bring it down to this bedrock truth. But I am poor and needy, yet, astonishing as it is to contemplate, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And there is one more thought as I come to the Amen. The Lord thinketh upon me. And now if he does, and I leave the if with you, and I will help you to come on the right side of it if you can. The Lord thinketh upon me, I say, and if he does, there will be one sure evidence that you will possess. You will be thinking upon him and all that he is as the sinner's friend. What think ye of Christ? And Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And you remember that lovely word in Malachi, a book of remembrance, was written before the Lord. For they that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And that is what poor sinners born again are helped to do at times. Or they do not say much often. But they weigh these things up before God within. They think upon his name. And they think prayerful thoughts, longing thoughts, think with solemn desires, holy longings and wishes. And those feeble desires and wishes, so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still see. And whenever these thoughts arise in your breast, you can say, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Amen.
Hymn number 100.